All right, welcome back. You're in the huddle. 101.3 The Game, moving along on this Tuesday, on this sunny Tuesday, guys. Hope everybody's staying safe, staying strong. Want to go right out to the TikTok Jewelers guest line. Joining us now, Celtics expert, sports personality at WBZ Radio in Boston. It's Adam Kaufman. Adam, how you guys getting along down there in Boston?
We're surviving just like everybody else, right? At least that's the goal.
So your dog could start barking at any moment, which would be par for the course for this entire week.
Yeah, she is just one of many within this house right now feeling the effects of self-isolation and, maybe not enough social distancing within these walls.
Adam, first off, I want to start with the Celtics. KG's going into the Hall of Fame. When you think of his Celtics tenure, what did he mean to Boston?
Well, I mean, I know that Paul Pierce obviously was the captain of that team and obviously a longtime captain and face of the franchise, but it was Kevin Garnett when he was traded here in 2007 along with Ray Allen, of course, in those separate deals and that just amazing summer where that team went from a team that hadn't won anything in over a decade to all of a sudden instant overnight title hopes, and it was Garnett that came in from really the moment he arrived before games even started. You think of the Rome trip in the preseason and him buying all the rookies suits and just the bonding with Paul, with Ray. He was the guy that transformed the culture here. You know, it needed a defensive identity. It needed enhanced leadership beyond what Pierce was doing. It needed sort of that arm between Doc Rivers, the head coach at the time, Tom Thibodeau, the defensive mastermind, assistant coach of that group, down to Paul, Ray, and everybody else, and he was just the one that, you know, he was the engine of that team. You know, it would be kind of crazy to say he doesn't get enough credit because I think everybody realizes that, and yet it's just one of those things that I feel like cannot be said enough. You know, it's clear they don't win Banner 17. They don't win that championship in 2008 without any one of those guys. I mean, it was a total team effort, but KG is the defensive player of the year that year and the one that really offensively sacrificed the most out of those three. He just came in and turned everything on its head. He means everything, which is why he's obviously going to have his number retired at some point next season, even before that, go into the Hall of Fame.
He was only here for 6 years, Adam. What is it about him that made him have such an impact on the region? Because it's not a whole lot of time when you look at his entire career.
No, and I know there's been debate, obviously, not within the Celtics organization or ownership or anybody like that, but just, you know, among fans, some people look at it, and media personalities as well, at how many numbers the Celtics have retired, most of any franchise, obviously, and boy, you know, what's the threshold, and can a guy, despite how impactful he was, can a guy who won one ring and was only here for 6 years, is he worthy of having that number five up in the rafters? And to me, he is, and I've never doubted it, and I've always believed the Celtics were going to go in that direction, which obviously they are, and Wick Grosbeck said that, you know, he's known it ever since they won the championship in 2008 that one day, you know, the big ticket was going to find his number up there. I just think that, you know, the 6 years, it's one way of looking at it, but the other is, again, you know, as I said before, he transformed the culture here. He brought an intensity, a work ethic that just didn't exist here that everybody followed. You know, everybody from Paul Pierce on down to whoever. You know, the 15th guy on the roster at the time. It was his leadership that was second to none, that was so necessary in not only revitalizing the region when it came to Celtics fandom, because again, you know, short of a run some years earlier in 2003 that was kind of crazy and unforeseen when Celtics went to the conference finals and lost to the Nets, you know, the team, again, it really hadn't done anything noteworthy since Larry Bird was here. So it just, he was just so incredibly important.
Adam Kaufman with us, WBZ Radio in Boston, here on the Huddle, 101.3 The Game, 1013thegame.com. If the NBA season is to return, Adam, the Celtics have an opportunity to go and win another banner this year. How do you want to see the NBA return? Do you want to see shortened playoff series? Do you want to see NCAA tournament styles like Kemba Walker's talking about? What do you want to see?
Well, I don't want to see a March Madness kind of bracket. I think that's kind of crazy. You know, I think there's a reason, obviously, that the series exists the way they do, or any sort of series. You know, even if it's not best of seven, you're talking best of five, or earlier rounds, best of three. But, you know, talent in the NBA does prevail over the length of a series more than anything, and I think that's a good thing. I think that, you know, you look at a March Madness kind of thing, then obviously anybody can win any given game. And do you really, like, would it make sense, not that this would happen, but pick a random team? Like, should the Brooklyn Nets be the champion of the NBA this year because they happen to go on a nice five-game run or something like that? It doesn't make sense. I think, you know, the NBA would sooner not have a champion than do something like that. But I do think there are a lot of different things in play. But, you know, most of all, and I'm probably in the majority with this, much as I would like to believe otherwise, I just, you know, you hear Adam Silver talking last night, you hear, obviously, you know, what's come out of the government and federal health officials. It seems very unlikely to me, guys, that we're going to see NBA basketball again, that the season's going to end with a champion, much the same as the NHL. I think, you know, right now we're more in a position where you're hoping just to get the football season off on time. You're hoping to, you know, be able to have half, at best, a baseball season. But even that stuff is very much in question. You know, we're still in the thick of this COVID-19 pandemic. I just don't think it's going to happen. I would love to see it. I'm a huge hoophead, but we know it's not going to happen in May. A decision's not going to come in April. So at best, the NBA is looking at coming back in mid to late June, and I just don't see it. Unless the league is really willing to tinker with next year, meaning they're so hell-bent on having a champ and, you know, be damned, we're going to crown a champion Labor Day or after that, and next season doesn't start until after Christmas or something like that, then again, it's a possibility. But I'm not holding out hope.
Adam, what about this Vegas thing? Putting them all in Vegas, fans, no fans, or are you one of those guys that says we have to just get back to when there's fans could be there and we're back to normal?
I'm not one of those people that says we have to wait until fans are able to go into the arenas, much as obviously everybody, you know, everybody, fans would like to be in there, media would like to have fans in there, teams with players, coaches, everybody. Look, we want everything to be normal. That should go without saying, but what I am not a believer in, no matter the league, and obviously ESPN had the story last night as far as Major League Baseball trying to start up in late May, early June, and having every single team basically isolated and quarantined and playing in ballparks across the state of Arizona and the greater Phoenix area, I don't see the NBA going out to Vegas and doing that same type of thing. Like, are you really going to send all of these players out there for what could be months, you know, potentially, obviously, if you're talking about a deep playoff run and or even trying to restart part of the regular season so that teams that are jockeying for seeding or just trying to get in as an 8 seed have an opportunity, and it's not just, oh, let's jump right into the postseason. You're going to send all these guys out there, you know, without their families, having to get tested. You can only go to the arena and back home. You can't go anywhere else. You're living at a hotel. You're going stir crazy. You're expecting all these guys, you know, married relationships or otherwise, to be abstinent and no one to go around doing, you know, anything that they shouldn't be doing. It's just, it's so foolhardy to think it's even possible. I mean, I applaud people for trying to entertain these things and trying to look for a way for sports to return, because normally whenever there's a problem, be it in the world or in our own little individual bubbles, our own lives, you know, so many of us turn to sports as an escape, and we don't have that right now, and so everyone's trying to get inventive, not to mention from the standpoint of these leagues and media partners not trying to hemorrhage money the way every industry, no matter what you do, is right now. We're all so fortunate to, you know, even have jobs, those of us that still do. I don't think you can go so far as to just totally reinvent the wheel. It seems unrealistic and in some cases a little irresponsible.
Adam, of course, being down at BZ, you're right in the middle of all the Tom Brady craziness. I almost got through this interview without bringing him up. But, I mean, what was it like down there, the whole saga? How much were you enlightened by his letter in the Players' Tribune and on why he left and things like that?
Well, I wouldn't say I was enlightened so much as, you know, anything that he wrote had already been kind of reported or alluded to. And it's not as though he came right out and said, you know, I left Foxborough because of Bill Belichick, but he certainly left the imprint or the interpretation of that for any reader, you know, to say he's going to a place that, you know, he's going to fully embrace a place that fully embraces him and wants to go on this ride with him, and he wants to prove that he can still do it at this age. I mean, it was basically line after line alluding to, if not outright saying, without outright saying, Bill Belichick doesn't believe in me anymore, and so I'm going to go someplace for, you know, and play for a guy with a team that will. And so we saw the Ian O'Connor piece from ESPN a couple days ago saying that, that someone close to Brady said he was Belichicked out, and those stories have existed over the last few years, quite frankly. And so none of it, again, was really enlightening, but for Brady, much the same way as Kraft not too long ago after he left said, you know, he in not so many words said Brady left because it was time to move on from Bill. For Brady to now come out and kind of do the same thing, it's just, it makes sense, and it's a shame that it had to end this way, and nobody wanted it to end this way, and many of us, including me, didn't think it would end this way, but, you know, here we are. He's off for a new challenge, and, you know, mom and dad got divorced. What are you going to do?
Yeah. He's Adam Kaufman, of course, Celtics expert, sports personality at WBZ Radio out in Boston. Adam, really appreciate your time. Want you to stay safe down there, and we'd love to have you on again.
Likewise, guys. Anytime.